Well, thank you, Peter, for leading us in scripture reading. And good morning to all of you. It's great to be with you this morning to look into God's word. And I enjoyed learning a new song this morning. So, Charles, wherever you went off to. Oh, there you are, right there. That was to the whole worship team, that was enjoyable. Well, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but if you have a picture or a painting that you want to hang in your house, it is very important that you choose the right frame. If you have a picture or a painting, a photograph, whatever it might be, and you want to display it in your home, it is very important that you choose the right frame, because if you choose the right frame, it will complement the picture and it will show off the picture, and the picture will look better in the right frame. But if you take a good picture or a good painting or a good portrait and you put it in the wrong frame, it detracts from the picture or the painting or the portrait. The story of John the Baptist's death is a perfect frame in which to hang the picture of Jesus Christ. The story of the death of John the Baptist is like a frame. And what it frames is a picture of Jesus. And as a good frame, it helps us to see more clearly, more beautifully, the picture of who Jesus really is. So the story of John the Baptist, think of it as a frame. It serves to highlight or accentuate the picture of who Jesus is. Story of John the Baptist that we've just read is the story of his death. In verses 1 and 2, we're told at that time, Herod was tetrarch. Herod the tetrarch heard the report about Jesus. This is Herod Antipas. This is Herod Antipas, who wanted to kill the little baby boys in Bethlehem. This is Herod, son of Herod the Great, who ruled over an area of Nazareth. Herod the Tetrarch was one of four sons, we believe, of Herod the Great, and he ruled what was essentially a portion or a fourth of the kingdom of his father, which is why he's called a tetrarch. A tetrarch rules a piece, a slice. He's not the king. He's not Caesar. But he has a little slice of land that he rules. And it was during the time that Herod ruled that he heard the report about Jesus. Now, as you know, and as I know, there's confusion about Jesus. And the story of the death of John the Baptist helps clarify the confusion about Jesus. This is why I say the story of the death of John the Baptist is a frame. It frames the portrait of Jesus. Because there's confusion about who Jesus is, and really confusion about his role. Who is this guy? What is this guy? There's confusion about Jesus. And the death of John the Baptist helps us to understand better who Jesus is. Clears up the question, who is Jesus? And the answer to the question, who is Jesus, is Jesus is the Messiah. And you know that. Jesus is the promised one. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the one promised by the prophets. Jesus is the Messiah. And this story teaches us two things. Number one, Jesus is the Christ. And number two, something I hope you pay careful attention to, Jesus is the Christ and Jesus cares about you as his child. Jesus is the Christ and Jesus cares about his sheep. He cares about you. He cares about me, and he cares about us. And during times of our life when we are going to be tempted to think Jesus has flat out forgotten us, the story of the death of John the Baptist teaches us about Jesus. Who is he? He's the Christ. And also, he cares about us in times in life when we think he's forgotten about us. So during the time of Herod the Tetrarch, Herod hears about Jesus. Herod doesn't believe in Jesus. Herod heard that there was going to be a king that was born, and Herod tried to stop it. Herod tried to kill Jesus. But of course, you cannot stop the plan of God. And so Jesus was born and Jesus grew. And in verse 2, Herod is confused about Jesus, and he says about Jesus, "This is John the Baptist." Do you see that? Herod is confused about Jesus and thinks that Jesus is John the Baptist. "This is John the Baptist," he told his servants. "He has been raised from the dead, and that's why supernatural powers are at work in him." So Herod hears about Jesus, and Herod thinks to himself, "I know exactly who this is. I've heard about this power. I've heard about the supernatural power at work in this man, Jesus." And Herod thinks he's a pretty smart cookie, and he knows who Jesus is. Jesus, he concludes, is John the Baptist. But then he says something a little strange. He says, "He has been raised from the dead." That is, Jesus is the reincarnated John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and he is at work in this man, Jesus. Jesus is possessed by John the Baptist. Or is John the Baptist back from the dead? Now, at this point, you might be thinking, if you were reading through the book of Matthew, you'd have a very simple question. When did John the Baptist die? If you were reading this, you'd think, Jesus is John the Baptist back from the dead. When did John the Baptist die? And so verses 1 and 2 introduce the death of John the Baptist because there's confusion that Jesus might be John the Baptist back from the dead. The question naturally arises, when did John the Baptist die? And verses 3 through 12 answer the question, when and how did John the Baptist die? And that's what Matthew goes on to tell us. Starting in verse 3, 4, Herod had arrested John. Notice the past tense. And so Matthew is pressing rewind on the story of John the Baptist, and he's going to tell us how John the Baptist got killed by Herod. "For Herod had arrested John, chained him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias." Now we know, because archaeologists have discovered this palace that Herod lived in. It was an opulent palace on a mountain that overlooked the valleys below. And we know that they've discovered underneath the palace dungeon chambers where Herod Antipas held his prisoners. And they were not the kind of prisons prisoners enjoy today, with sunlight and fresh air and, you know, flushing toilets and this sort of thing, running water, nothing like that. John the Baptist's final time was spent in a dark, dank, sunless, damp, cramped, dirt dungeon of a prison. John the Baptist spent his final days in really appalling conditions. Appalling conditions. How did he end up there? What did he do? What crime did he commit? What terrible, heinous injustice is he guilty of? Well, what he did, we're told. We're told that Herodias was behind this. Herod had married someone named Herodias, and Herodias is called his brother Philip's wife. This is his half-brother, Philip. Philip had a wife, and Herod wanted Herodias. And so Herod took Herodias as his wife. And John was not a PC kind of a prophet. He was not a cowardly prophet. He was not a appeasing sort of guy. He's not the kind of guy to meet with Herod and say, well, Herod, you're in power. Let's just go golfing and I'll play this the right way. I'll spin this the right way because after all, I want friends in high places because that's what'll be better for the gospel. No, we're told that John the Baptist had been telling, notice verse 4, had been telling, the verb tense indicates that John the Baptist said this more than once. He was a little bit of a broken record, if you will. He had been telling Herod, it's not lawful for you to have her. It's not lawful for you to have her. And so John the Baptist had been telling Herod, what you're doing with this woman is wrong and you need to stop. Now, the interesting thing about this was Herod a Jew? No, Herod wasn't a Jew. John the Baptist was telling Herod what he was doing was wrong simply because it violated the commands of God. This would be like you going to your next door neighbor who's living with someone that's not their wife and saying, hey, you shouldn't be living with someone who's not your wife. And all your other Christian friends say, well, don't say that. I mean, after all, they're not a Christian. We wouldn't expect them to follow God's commands. John the Baptist goes to this man who's not a Jew, not under the law in that sense, and he says, you are violating the commands of God. And he says this over and over again. It's not lawful for you to have her. It's not lawful for you to have her. Verse 5, though he wanted to kill him, he feared the crowd since they regarded him as a prophet. So how does Herod feel about John the Baptist? He wants him dead. Well, why doesn't he kill him? He's Herod Antipas. He rules the land. Why doesn't he just kill John the Baptist? Well, it's very simple. Herod is afraid. Now, in this passage, you might have noticed that Herod is afraid at a couple of different points. Herod is afraid of the people, so he doesn't kill John the Baptist. Herod is afraid of breaking his promise to his wife and to his daughter-in-law, and so he kills John the Baptist. Herod is a man who lives in fear, and he stands in contrast to John the Baptist, who seems to fear no man. John the Baptist is courageous. Herod Antipas is a coward. He wants to kill John, but he fears the crowd, and the crowds regard John as a prophet, and so Herod does not kill John. Verse 6, but when Herod's birthday celebration came, Herodias' daughter danced before them and pleased Herod. Now, we know that the Romans had licentious, immoral parties. We don't know exactly what was going on at this party, but we know it was nothing good. We know it was nothing wholesome. And this girl, the word for daughter that's used, has most commentators to guess that she was somewhere between 12 and 15 years old. She was a young girl. And she danced before the men, and it pleased Herod, her father-in-law. And if this strikes you as just being wrong, it's because it is. So Herod promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask, and prompted by her mother, she answered, give me John the Baptist's head on a plate. Now Herodias knows exactly what she wants. She wants the head of that man who said it was lawful for her husband to have her. She wants that man who dared confront her sin. She wants John the Baptist's head on a plate. She doesn't just want to hear that John the Baptist was beheaded. She doesn't just want to know that John the Baptist was beheaded. She wants his physical head. Now, it's interesting knowing what we know about this party and the loud parties that they would have, and knowing what we know about where John the Baptist was held, it's entirely possible that John the Baptist could have even heard the celebrations going on. Imagine being in a filthy, dark prison, and imagine hearing the sounds of revelry and celebration and drinking and laughing and music. And there you are in your prison, thinking that you had been forgotten by God. And we know that John the Baptist struggled with this. We know that John the Baptist struggled with feeling that he had been forgotten, feeling like things weren't going like they should have gone. Turn over, if you will, in your Bibles to chapter 11 and see a glimpse at the kind of doubt that John the Baptist experienced when he was in prison. Matthew 11. Look in verse 2, if you would. Matthew 11, verse 2. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent a message by his disciples and asked, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Are you the one who is to come? Are you the expected one? You see, the Messiah was really supposed to do two things. The Messiah was going to do two things. The Messiah was going to save, and the Messiah was going to judge. And we know that John the Baptist, going back to Matthew verse 3, John the Baptist told us, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I. I am not worthy to remove his sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn up with fire that never goes out." And Jesus comes and says, "Baptize me." But John tried to stop him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you." John the Baptist knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but in the prison, he had times of doubt. And he sends word to Jesus saying, I need to know, are you the one that we've been waiting for, or should we expect another? And I want to suggest to you that this is very similar to the doubts that we experience in our life when we go through times of hardship. When we receive that news from the doctor, we're tempted to say, "Jesus, are you really the promised one, or should I look for another?" When things aren't going as in our family as we would expect, we're very tempted to echo this sentiment, "Jesus, are you the promised one, or should I expect another? Jesus, are you the one who's going to deliver, or should I look for another deliverer?" That's what John is saying. And Jesus replies to him back in Matthew 11:4, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, those with skin diseases are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor are told the good news, and if anyone is offended by me, he is blessed." In other words, Jesus says, "Go tell John the gospel. Go tell him that the Messiah is here. The prophecies are being fulfilled. Go tell John to keep being faithful. Keep believing. Keep trusting. There in that prison cell, don't give up." Because you can imagine that when John was in that prison, you can imagine that he was tempted to think, either Jesus isn't the Messiah or Jesus doesn't care about me. And both of those things are wrong. Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus did care. And my message to you this morning based upon this passage is, Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus cares about you. Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus cares about you. He cares about you at times in your life when you are imprisoned. You feel like you're imprisoned in a marriage that's not like it should be. Or you're imprisoned in a job that's not going like it should go. When you are tempted to think, "My life is not going the way it's supposed to go," you remember, this is exactly how John the Baptist felt. And Jesus' message to John was, "I am the Messiah. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep being faithful." The story of John the Baptist's death really confronts what we are What we are tempted to believe in modern Christianity, which is that somehow Jesus is obligated to fulfill all of your expectations for your life. We are tempted to believe that Jesus is obligated to fulfill all of our expectations for our life. Do you think that this is how John the Baptist thought his life would end? I can promise you, based upon what his doubts were, that this is not how John the Baptist thought his life would end. John the Baptist thought Jesus was going to come on the scene, save, deliver, and judge, and bring the kingdom, and John would see it right then and there. And instead, he's locked up in a dungeon at the whim of a crazy woman because he did what God had called him to do. And one night he hears revelry. He hears partying. And the next thing he would have seen was an executioner come into his room. And the executioner cut off his head. And then verse 11, back in chapter 14, his head was brought on a platter and given to that little 12, 13, 14-year-old girl. And she carries it to her mother. The greatest prophet of the Old Testament. Jesus tells us, of all the prophets, there's no one greater than John the Baptist, because none of them got to point to the Messiah in the flesh and say, there he is, the promised one of God. Who got to do that? Did Jeremiah get to do that? No. Did Isaiah get to do that? No. Joel? No. Amos? No. The only one who got to hold in his arms the body of the Messiah and dip him under the water is John the Baptist. What a privileged life. He was the greatest, Jesus tells us, the greatest prophet. And how does it end for that great prophet? It ends with his head on a platter carried by a 12-year-old girl to her vindictive mother, who for no other reason than spite wanted him dead. Then his disciples came, verse 12, removed the body, buried it, and went and reported it to Jesus. We started by asking the question, who is Jesus? Remember what Herod thought? Herod thought Jesus was who? John the Baptist. And the answer is, this whole story is a frame to answer the question, who is Jesus? Jesus is not John the Baptist. Jesus is not John the Baptist. Jesus is not John the Baptist, because you know what happened to John the Baptist? John the Baptist got killed. John the Baptist got decapitated. John the Baptist was murdered. And they put his body in a tomb, and it never came back to life. There's a lot of parallels between Jesus and John the Baptist. Both are regarded as a prophet. Up in chapter 13, verse 57, Jesus says, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. And then if you look down in verse 5 of chapter 14, we're told that the crowds regarded John the Baptist as a prophet. John the Baptist and Jesus are both regarded as prophets. Both of their fate is in the hands of Herod. Both of them suffer injustice. But Jesus is not John the Baptist. Jesus is greater than John the Baptist, because when Jesus is murdered, Jesus goes into the grave, but he comes back to life. Jesus is greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist dies, but Jesus Christ dies and comes back to life. Jesus Christ dies to save. Jesus is greater than John the Baptist. Well, you'll also notice that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah, but Jesus also cares. Jesus cares. Look in verse 13. When Jesus heard about it, that is, when Jesus heard about the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there by boat to a remote place to be alone. When the crowds heard this, they followed him on foot from the towns. Now, I don't want to read too much into this passage, because We're not told why Jesus withdrew, but we are told in verse 12 that they reported it to Jesus, and we are told in verse 13 that when they heard about it, he withdrew from there by boat to a remote place. We know that Jesus was cousins with John, and it's not a stretch of the imagination to know that when Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, his cousin, his friend, his forerunner, that Jesus cared. Jesus knew, and Jesus cared. And this is a picture of Jesus that is framed by the death of John the Baptist. Jesus is the Messiah. He is greater than any man that has ever walked the face of the earth. He alone is able to save, but he also cares about those who suffer. He cares about those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He knows and he cares when you are going through something and you don't think God knows or cares. Jesus knows and Jesus cares. We know that John in that prison was tempted to doubt. We know that he was tempted to doubt. And we know that in times in our life where we go through suffering, we are tempted to think, I'm forgotten, God doesn't know, or God doesn't care. Is Jesus really the deliverer? Is he really the Messiah? Is he really the Savior? Or should I start looking around for something else? Should I start looking for something else? The story of John the Baptist reminds us very clearly. Don't forget, you know who Jesus is. You know he's the deliverer. You know he's the Savior. And you know that he cares about you. And I pray that this morning, whatever you're going through in life, I pray that the story of John the Baptist would serve to remind you that we have a Savior who knows and who cares about his sheep. And even as he allows us to go through hard things, he knows and he cares. And for one second, we should not allow the tribulations of life to begin to undermine our faith in who he is or our faith in his deep care and concern for us. When Jesus heard about it, he withdrew there by boat to a remote place to be alone. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Messiah, and the Messiah cares about us. Let me close this in prayer. Father, we thank you for the story of John the Baptist because it reminds us that you do care. It reminds us that your care does not exempt us from suffering. Your love for us does not exempt us from suffering. But as we suffer, you care. You know and you care. And Father, we thank you that you walk with us by your Spirit through the hardships of life. And we thank you, Father, that you've given us a Savior who knows our hardships, who firsthand has experienced the kind of suffering, and even in far greater measure. I pray, Lord, that your people this morning would be comforted by this story, that they'd be encouraged by the story of John the Baptist to know that whatever they go through, you are with them, you know, and you care. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.